Good afternoon, this is Ketchel Kirk, and with Looking Up, a few minutes in the middle of the week to think about astronomical things. Now, I'm here at SALT, the Southern African Large Telescope in Sutherland, in the Northern Cape. And I'm here because there's a 20-year celebration of the inauguration of SALT, and there's all sorts of people here, VIPs, politicians, and people who were here from the outset. Including, we have here Dr. Daniel Groenewald, who is the manager of the SALT operations, the SALT astronomy operations. And she's going to tell us something about what we might expect from SALT in the next few years. So good afternoon, Daniel.
Good afternoon, Keshaw. Thank you for having me. So for the next 5 years, SALT is looking forward to looking into expanding into exoplanet science. Now, we've just had an exciting development add on to one of our Shell spectrographs, which is what we call the laser frequency comb, which will allow us to detect exoplanets that move around stars. And we are hoping that that high precision that it will allow us will push us into the frontier to also join the Plato mission.
Right. So now this is planets that are orbiting around stars other than our own. There's all sorts of different kinds of planets out there. Because SALT is an enormous instrument. It's got this huge, massive mirror. And this means, presumably, that it's going to be able to find out some interesting new things about planets. And what kinds of things do you think it's going to be picking up?
So one of the key things that we might pick up is how fast a star, or a planet, sorry, in this case, is moving around a star. We can also detect what the atmospheric compositions there is, so that would lead us to maybe finding life on other planets, masses of stars, I mean planets, as well as just what the composition is that they exist of, and maybe we can find water, the building blocks of life.
Okay, so I know that there are instruments that can detect atmospheres of planets around other stars, but presumably SALT's going to do this in a much more sophisticated or sort of deep and detailed way. Is that right?
Yes. So currently the instrumentation that we do have will only be able to probe to a certain mass limit. So with the LFC, we'll be able to probe a deeper limit for planets that are moving faster around stars, because the resolution of the LFC will allow us to do so. So we will fundamentally probe a new range of masses and maybe find a planet that can host life.
And what else have you got on the menu for SALT over the next few years?
So the other instrumentation that we're also expanding in is called integral field units. And these are instrumentation that have a bunch of fibers that you can look up into to a galaxy, for example. So instead of spending time just getting one spectrum, each of these fibers can get a spectrum of a whole galaxy, which will allow you to study different parts of it at the same time. So in essence, you can study how fast a galaxy is rotating, how many stars of certain masses it has in which regions. But it also allows you to look at galaxy clusters, for example, which can probe different galaxies in the same cluster and look at the gas composition to see whether mergers are happening, or if it's a gas-rich cluster, whether there would be star formation, things like that.
I see. So it's going to be able to look at all these other galaxies and in kind of more detail.
That's right.
and find out a lot more about them.
That's right.
Okay, and what else?
At this stage, we also are expanding into the near infrared. So currently we do have a detector, which we are busy commissioning. So the near infrared is it's an instrument that will allow us to go from the optical into the near infrared range. It will also open up a new host of science. For example, probing the stellar evolution of galaxies, dust formation, things like that.
So now, for those who don't know about different frequencies of light, the near infrared, this is something which we can't see with our eyes. But isn't this the territory of the James Webb Space Telescope?
That is correct. But the James Webb Telescope can do this in much more a high resolution because it's up in space. It doesn't have to contend with the atmosphere like we do here on Earth. So NOWLS, or our near infrared instrument, will allow SALT, which currently just has the optical range, to expand within the near infrared, which will also allow us to expand in our science capabilities.
Right. What's been clear from today and from all the speeches that we've heard is what an important instrument SALT is in global astronomy. It's a big international collaboration, but it's particularly South African. And the NRF is the biggest stakeholder in it. That's the National Research Foundation. And I think it's got quite a glamorous future almost ahead of it. Despite the fact that we've got the Square Kilometre Array Radio Telescope coming on stream, it's still going to be there actually pushing out groundbreaking science.
Well, that is our hope. So SALT is the optical counterpart for SKA. So that is why it's very important to have multi-wavelength campaigns where the different telescopes can work together to probe different regions of the same science that we're looking at, which will allow us to get different perspectives of a galaxy or whatever science regions we're looking at to get more information across.
It's fascinating. And I must say, Dr. Danielle Groenewald, congratulations on this wonderful 20-year anniversary and a very fascinating time you have ahead of you with SALT. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
For now, this is Ketchel Kirkham wishing us clear skies.